please stand and join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. And public comment times will be 3 minutes per person. Is there any public comment? Any public comment? Seeing none, we will proceed. Board member items for discussion. Pamela?
None at this time.
Jim?
Just note that my wife and I went to Cambria the other evening. We saw a presentation of Agatha Christie's Mousetrap at the Pewter Plough Playhouse in Cambria. And one of the stars of the show there is Tyler Lopez from Oceano, and it was a really good show.
I just want to take this opportunity to welcome our new general manager, Raphael, and he will be telling us a little bit about himself in a moment or so. Vern?
I have nothing other than welcome.
Mary?
Yes, Madam President. It's nice to be back in the state. I had a little family crisis. My father passed away this last week, and we went up to support my mother. So I apologize to the community for missing part of that meeting. I did notice that the agenda is quite action-packed, and so I would ask the board to consider modifying it so we don't run over and incur more expenditures than we already have. So we have the annual budget on the agenda. We have several presentations. So at this time, I'd ask Madam President to consider that.
What was it you were wanting to take off, Mary?
Well, since we've invited the Wallace Group to come and present on the water and the water studies, I would suggest that we bring the engineers and Doug and Steve to present and maybe table some of the administrative items, such as the budget, the loan securitization, which I see that you have listed as number 9 on the agenda, which I kind of look at agendas as prioritizing what is the most important and that your agenda is built based on that. And so I see that the budget is very important, but we have it listed at number 9, which is going to make it absolutely.
And that's for September 23rd and 30th. Let's just put those off to being approved until the next meeting, you know, as I come to the things like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get those minutes. I only got a small portion as it relates to the budget.
I'm sorry, you didn't get your packet this
afternoon? No. I didn't get those minutes. What I got was a summary of the budget discussion. It wasn't a complete set of the minutes, so I would say we could table them, but we can't pass them because unless I don't have the minutes. I might. Do you have the minutes, Director Dean? Complete set of the minutes.
They were both delivered this afternoon along with the warrants. The partial minutes for the 30th were included with the budget so that you could refer back to the comments.
Okay.
But so I'm going to, I'll table that when I get to that. Some of these things like that I'll just table. Raphael, you want to take a few minutes and introduce yourself to Oceano?
Thank you, Honorable Chairman. My name is Raphael Montemurro, and I'm excited to be here. I have previous experience in government, and I'm hoping that that'll help. I have a degree in economics, and the economist in me says that our finances and budgets here, hopefully I can contribute. And I have a degree in business as well. So I'm here to help this board provide the maximum service to its constituents at the minimum cost to the taxes. I have an open door policy. I want to thank the people that have already been in my office and come to visit, and I would like to encourage the rest of you that haven't been in yet to come to visit. Thank you, and have a safe and pleasant evening.
Thank you. Review and approval of the minutes for September 23rd and the 30th, I'll table those until next meeting. There needed to be some more corrections on them anyway. Brian Haskell, Sheriff South Station, welcome.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Commander Brian Haskell, Sheriff's Department, South Station Commander. I know you're busy tonight, so I'll be brief. Just a couple of things. We had a residential burglary in the 1400 block of Railroad on October 1st between 9 and 10 a.m. We had a .22 caliber firearm taken and some jewelry as well. What I'd like to mention is we've had four similar crimes in the same area around Railroad and Air Park in that area over there. So the residence was unlocked, being run through the Cal ID system to see if we can find a match to them. The last item is last Saturday evening we had a pursuit that occurred over on Elm near the Pike, and it lasted about 30 seconds and the car crashed into a parked semi. Two people jumped out of the car and took off running. One of them was apprehended right away. The other one was apprehended about a block away hiding in a garage. That gentleman was on parole and went to jail for that, plus possession of some drugs, and the female driver was arrested for evading, as well as some outstanding warrants for her arrest. One a felony warrant out of Montana, and the other one's from Santa Barbara County. So luckily that had an outcome. Nobody was injured, a little bit of damage to the vehicles, but other than that, everything was fine. And that's all I've got for this evening, if anybody has any questions.
Any questions from the board? Any questions from the public? Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you very much.
The report from the fire department, if you can, John, if you can kind of shorten that up a little bit, it would be appreciated.
Of course. Good evening. Let's see if I can paraphrase some of this. This month, report for the month of September, we had 62 calls, 39 were in Oceano, 7 in Grover Beach, and 9 in Aurora Grandy. 7 were with Cal Fire. We didn't go on the beach in September. 39 calls in Oceano, 29 were EMS related, 1 fire and 9 miscellaneous. This total of this report, actually total of today, we have 635 calls. At this time last year, we had about 575. Training within the departments. The departments have been training together this past month on bloodborne and airborne pathogens, CPR refresher, automatic external defibrillator or AEDs refresher, and also fire ground performance evaluations. An annual San Luis Obispo County Health Department pod drill or point of distribution drill was hosted at the Grover Beach Fire Station on September 23rd. The drill is designed to prepare county health and first responders for actual emergency involving the administering of vaccinations if we had an actual emergency. And several members of our departments participated in hosting this drill. Approximately 900 persons were inoculated at the Grover Beach Fire Station alone. And other pod sites in the county include Paso Robles, Morro Bay. We had some annual service done and some Department of Transportation checks. And that's all I have for the month of September. Any questions?
Any questions from the board? Mary?
No.
Vern?
No.
Jim?
Thank you, John.
Pamela?
No.
Any comments or questions from the public? If not, thank you very much, John. Utility items. The cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. Public Contracts Code Section 22050C1 requires that if the governing body orders any action after the emergency has been declared, the governing body shall review the emergency action at its next regularly scheduled meeting and at every regularly scheduled meeting thereafter until the action is terminated to determine by forfeit vote that there is a need to continue the action. This is from the earthquake many, many years ago. We're still working on solving all the problems. The recommended action before the board is by board discussion, public comment, motion, second, and a roll call vote to determine by forfeit vote that there is a need to the continued action. So board discussion, any board discussion? Any public comment? public comment. Okay, I need a motion, please.
I move that we continue the emergency for the cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. A roll call vote, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. A 5-0 vote. So that is taken care of. We are now down to the sewer rehabilitation project, a review of the construction in progress. Just bringing us up to date from the last time that you folks were here till now.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. We actually have one PowerPoint presentation that will cover all three items, B, C, and D. So we will seamlessly transition from speaker to speaker. Hopefully. As Steve is pulling this up for us to discuss, just to give you a brief background on it, just to take you on a path through the entire project. Originally, we gave the notice of award back in November of last year, and the notice of to proceed was January of this year. Originally, the base of the contract with the initial alternatives that we had exercised at that time, that was completed back in May.
Doug, we can't really see any of that on
okay.
there. Maybe the lights were, if the rest of the lights are turned off, maybe we could see it better, perhaps. No, I don't know that that makes it any better.
Okay. So basically, a while ago, you had change order number 4, where you approved us ahead of time, pending some contracts being entered into. Those contracts have now been entered into with the county and with the state. They are CDBG, Community Development Block Grants, and DRI, Disaster Recovery Initiative. There's a portion of those funds, a little over $200,000, is from CDBG. That runs until April of 2010. We have currently released some of the outstanding work to Baker. That's two segments. That would be segments 10 and 28. We're having a pre-construction meeting tomorrow. There are three other segments that we're awaiting. The DRI contract has been executed. However, the date of that contract, the date of the funding expired October 1st, the date that the contract was finally executed due to some delays at the state. We're now working with the state through the county to extend the date of those funds being unavailable till the end of the year. But until we can get that, we can only do two, maybe another additional segment. The reason why we're waiting on the three segments that will be outstanding, 6, 16, and 18, is because all three are on Air Park Drive. And if we were to do just one or two and come back later and do another, it would inconvenience the residents more than doing it all at once. So we're trying to get it all at once when we have the funding. That's where we are right now, and I'd be happy to take any questions you may have.
Any questions from the board? Any questions from the public on this? None. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
My presentation, John, will be following up briefly on some details on some of the district's water supply wells. So I presented this to you last month in the draft water master plan. This is a summary of your existing water supplies for the community of Oceano. Currently, the allocation for groundwater is 900 acre feet per year. The entitlement for Lopez surface water is 303 acre feet, and state water, 750 acre feet, for a total water supply allocation of 1,953. As you know, your current demand today is about 900 acre feet per year, and based on our projections of population, we were estimating a future demand of about 1,400 acre feet per year. One of the things that we touched on at the last meeting was the water supply reliability, and obviously you have a certain amount of allocation. We know what your future demands may be based on that population growth and the demographics of the community. But one of the things we took a look at as part of the draft water master plan is how reliable are your various water sources. So we took a look at state water, and of course, as you know, there's the annual shutdown of state water, but obviously with Oceano, you still draw water through Lopez. There are obviously drought cycles that we go through periodically. There have been recent issues with the Bay Delta smelt and other environmental issues associated with state water. So there are some uncertainties relative to state water allocations as we see in the future. We felt that groundwater and Lopez were both fairly reliable sources. The groundwater, of course, you do have some wells with backup power as part of that system. But what we did take a look at adjusted supply, if you will, was what we felt was the reliable supply for the community as we look forward to the future. So as you look at what your reliable supply is at about 1,500 acre feet per year, your projected future demands, things still look pretty good. However, you know, there's not that much room for margin. So it's certainly something that needs to be looked at from year to year as we move forward. And just briefly, these are the draft recommendations that we had put forth in the Water Master Plan that we discussed last month. Courtney Howard from the county will be coming to speak to you in 2 weeks to talk about more details regarding the state water drought buffer program. But that's certainly something we've needed. So in that regard, you're doing very well. The only recommendation we made there was just to be mindful of where you might be able to also reduce that percentage of unaccounted for water that does not get metered and therefore generate revenue to the district. And also to take part in looking at future water recycling opportunities through the South County Santa District wastewater plant. This gives you a brief summary of your current water usage. As you can see in the graph showing the blue lines, you're using majority of surface water compared to the maroon color, which is your well water. You do see a trend, as I had shown in a graph last month, relative to how your demands vary throughout the summer months versus the winter. Again, your total demand currently is about 900 acre feet per year. We're seeing this past year for 2008, about 377 acre feet per year of state water, 278 acre feet of Lopez, and about 250 acre feet of groundwater. So your total supply that was used on a percentage basis was 73% surface water and 27% groundwater. And lastly, one of the things that we were asked to look at is what is the actual cost of your water supplies? And so this gives you a brief summary of the various costs for your water supplies. State water comes in at about $1,100 per acre foot. That comes with a $17,000 annual wheeling charge through the county through the Lopez project. We did talk with Courtney, and again, she's going to come and speak to more detail in a couple weeks, but if we do consider a state water drought buffer, that cost for the drought buffer program amounts to about $75 per acre foot to have that buffer and participate in the program. Lopez water, with your 303 acre feet per year allocation, comes out to about $1,390 per acre foot. And obviously, if you don't use all of that allocation in any given year, then you're not charged for that, the full allocation. And groundwater, we estimated your cost at about $300 an acre foot, and that really is predominantly power cost for pumping your water supply. And with that, I will answer any questions. I don't know if we want to continue on with John's portion of the presentation.
Well, let's see. Are there any questions from the?
So you know, the costs are, you know, based on what the actual, you know, the real costs of the project were at the time to develop.
I think I can help a little bit on too, Marilyn.
Great. Are there any questions from the public? Or I'm sorry, do you have a question, Pam? Any questions from the public? If not, thank you very much. John, you're up.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board. John Wallace, district engineer. I'd like to talk a little bit. First, I guess I should answer Director Lucy's question. The State Water is economy of scale. It's a huge project. It's been developed amongst a lot of different entities, and so therefore the unit cost of that water is about $1,000 an acre foot delivered to Oceano if we were to take our full entitlement. Lopez, on the other hand, as you know, with the earthquake retrofit that we had, that was, I believe, a $28 million project. And with the rebuilding of the water treatment plant out there, that's another $24 million project. All that had to be paid for through through loans and so forth. And so that's why Lopez Water has increased in cost so much over the last 3-4 years. It used to be that Lopez Water was down to $400, $500, $600 an acre foot. But with the improvements that had to be made that were both planned and unplanned, the earthquake, of course, was unplanned, and the state said you have to rebuild and stabilize the dam, and that's what was done. So that's the difference between the two.
Sean, with your knowledge, can I ask you a quick question? I'll try to make it quick. Do you think that the amount of money that we spend out at Lopez is wisely spent? Because it does cost the residents a significant amount, and we see it on our water bills, you know, a special line item just for that retrofit. Do you, in your opinion, think that that money has been wisely spent all the way through? I mean,
well, part of that money that's spent is uncontrollable from the standpoint of the regulations that the state puts on us and the Department of Health and so forth. But to your point, the county has asked some folks that have engineering experience in the community here and business experience to participate on an efficiency committee with the county to study Lopez, the operations and the financial part of it, and other phases of the Lopez. It's about your groundwater and the production of your groundwater. I know that all of you probably know where your wells are, but I thought for the audience here and for the folks at home, we might run through it real quick. We have a star with Phil Davis here participating in some of the photographs here. But the production of groundwater is coming into more and more scrutiny because of the litigation from the Santa Maria Groundwater Basin. And we're part of what we call the Northern Cities Monitoring Group that are monitoring our wells and potential seawater intrusion and that sort of thing to make sure that we manage our water supply from the ground to a good degree. And also there's a group on the Napomo Mesa doing the same thing, and of course in Santa Maria the same thing. So we're part of the Northern Cities Monitoring Group that is doing our part to make sure that we use this resource wisely. So just to show you briefly some photographs of the different wells. Oops. There we go. This shows part of the master plan for the community with the water lines, which you probably can't read very well. We'll provide another slide to you on paper that will give you a better idea as to where your wells are. We also talked with Phil about how do we distribute more water through our system that comes from Lopez or comes from the state water system. And Phil and ourselves are looking at some other interties with our neighboring communities to be able to get more water to us because there was a limitation on the pipeline that traditionally that we use coming from what's called the Briscoe turnout off the Lopez line. So Phil's been very helpful in that. And we've identified some areas there that we'll be looking at maybe some interconnects with Arroyo Grande and to initialize the existing interconnect that we have with Grover. One of the monitoring wells is across in the depot parking lot there. And that consists of four monitoring wells that go down to different levels and different strata that is monitored for things like seawater intrusion and for just water quality measurement at the different levels itself. So it's a good thing that the district did a while back to put those in. They're down in a manhole now because when the depot project was completed, that parking lot was raised, and so there's a manhole that now accesses those monitoring wells. There is what we call a sentry well. There's four may possibly give us some misleading data on some of the interpretation of the water quality there. You can see here that Phil's taking the cap off of one of the monitoring wells, and it's fairly encumbered with debris. Again, one of the there's two two-inch monitoring wells and one one-inch in each of these sentry wells.
John,
yes, ma'am.
Is that off of Pier Avenue?
It's off of Pier Avenue.
By the liquor store?
By the liquor store and then off into the woods. The fact is, that's the well access out of the parking lot for the liquor store there.
And how many times was that tested?
I believe that they're trying to do that quarterly. I'm not positive about that, but I believe they're
trying to. But it's been done twice recently?
At least. I know that the stipulation in the judgment from the groundwater basin lawsuit says that we have to file an annual report every year, and that annual report is being completed now for this particular year. But we have done some sampling, I think, on a quarterly basis. I'm not sure what the county has done prior to that time. I wasn't involved at it in that time, but I'm getting up to speed on it.
It was the county that did the sampling?
Yes.
And so if they did the sampling the first time and they thought perhaps it was suspect or the results were not what we had hoped for, then they did it again to double-check their results? Is that correct?
I'm not positive about that as to have they checked it again recently, because there was some indication that we might be having some chlorides in these wells here that we need to observe better and test again. And I believe that they're going to have to do that to retest those wells. The report is done by the county under the auspices of the county, but all the cities help pay for that effort. And that's under an effort by an engineer out of up north, Todd Engineers, and Iris Priestaff is okay. The person that's been our main contact on that.
Now, you said there was more than one well.
Yes.
Just kind of generally, where are the other wells, sentry wells?
Well, can I ask a question about the maintenance? Who is responsible for the maintenance of this well?
Yeah.
Who?
They're out of that to drink.
No.
But what is it telling us when they've checked these out?
Two things. What is the elevation of the groundwater, and what's the quality in those different strata that they measure? You have multiple wells, monitoring wells, in one casing there, but the wells go to different levels, and so they measure the water level at different...
The sentry wells.
The sentry wells do, yes. And they also measure the water quality at different levels from different strata.
So we know that there's one at Pier Avenue. Another one in our area?
Yes, and I'll show you that one here in a second. This is the second one. It's up across the Highway 1 from the Sand and Surf RV park there.
Okay.
And the state parks maintenance buildings are to your right as you look at that. And Phil is taking the cover off of this monitoring well, and it's a metal cover there. And it has two-inch ports as well as a one-inch port there. And this one appears to be in a little bit better shape. These were put in some time ago, so they've really had a fair amount of age on them.
And that's probably in Grover Beach, right?
That would be in Grover, right, Phil? Yes, in Grover. Okay.
I didn't hear Phil.
Phil said that we just got the word that the wells are going to be tested again next week.
Okay.
So this is what we're calling number two. There's one further to the north in Pismo Beach, and there's one further to the south out on the beach itself in the dunes. So there's four sentry wells there. And there's some going further down the coast that we aren't responsible
mm-hmm.
for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure. I know that the county had some trouble finding it at first, but it's out down the beach on the dunes.
Do you have any idea how far down?
No, I don't. Phil is indicating that well is about a half mile down.
Half mile down.
Off of the ramp there.
It's past the creek.
Past the creek, maybe half a mile down.
Okay, so these wells give us the information to tell us perhaps if we're in danger of saltwater intrusion?
Correct.
And are you just looking for salt water, or are you looking for like cryptococcal or any of that?
No, it's not a bacteriological issue. It's more of a chemical.
And maybe getting worse. So, you know, if it's intrusive, it's more should be getting worse. Now the question is, where do we really stand on the question of saltwater intrusion at this stage of the game? And how do we compare with other ocean-type towns that seem to have the same problem? I mean, are we in better shape, or how do we determine this?
Answering the last question first, how do we determine what extent of seawater intrusion we might be having? You do that from monitoring the wells and a chemical analysis of the wells and looking at trends over time.
So is there anything that's published that tells us what it was like 5 years ago and what it's like now?
Yeah. The past...
Can we get a hold of some of this publication?
I would think that the county has the most extensive library in those documents of the County Public Works Department. And to my knowledge, there has not been an issue of that up to the current time. I think that with the current trends in pumping, we may see some evidence of that starting.
Would it be out of order to ask the directors to try to get that information and make it public?
We'll be talking to the county about that, and as part of their presentation on the 28th, when they come back to talk about the drought buffer, we will make sure that we talk about that in more detail and have a good piece of information for you. So we'll be back in a couple weeks to do that.
Any more information to share with us?
And John, just so the community knows, how deep are the wells? I mean, when you first start to hit the top layer, how deep, just so people have a sense of how shallow they really are. That's why.
Well, I know that they're going down a different strata, which means that some of them could be, 60 feet, 100 feet, or more. To be honest, I'm just becoming part of this committee to review this information, and I don't know the depth of all these wells here.
Okay.
But we'll be better prepared on the 28th to speak in more detail about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Just to complete it, here's your production well. This is called well number 4. It's over at the 19th Street area there. Motor, correct, Bill? And
yes.
Rebuilt well as, along with that. And it's in pretty good shape. These are the booster pumps outside of the in the well yard there, along with the engine to power the booster pumps, and a hydrostatic tank in the back to increase your pressure throughout town. This is your tank number 2. It's the newest tank. It's a 1 million gallon tank, and you can see that you do need some touch up and. To address some of the rust and corrosion that's taking place on that. I think Steve addressed that in his updated master plan. Tank number 1 is a 1/3 million gallon. That's the older tank. And well number 7 is right next to the sheriff station next door, on the other side of the sheriff station. Well number 8 is the one closest to the street. And together, looking back towards away from Highway 1, and they're powered by a standby generator in case you have a power outage and you need to have those wells pumped. The generator controls, Phil has pointed out that enclosure is pretty tight with that generator. It's very tight inside there. The Briscoe turnout over near Halcyon and Briscoe Road. That's where the Lopez water comes from, off the Lopez line. And again, I was going to point out some of the connections we might do, but I understand that the scale is too small here, so we'll give you a paper copy of that to be better. And this is a hand-drawn schematic that Phil did many years ago, but it's very good. and it really simply illustrates where your wells are and how they go through the various tanks coming from Lopez and the booster system here to power the town. So it's a unique sketch, I think. We'll take our hat off to Phil for that great sketch. That's all we have.
John, when you talked about maybe enlarging the lines coming from Lopez, and that's the way we get our state water too,
correct?
So if those lines, if we were able to increase the capacity coming from state water,
right,
we would be able to use less groundwater, correct?
Correct.
Because we, if, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't we pay for the state water?
To do that would require us to take more state water and perhaps some other swaps of Lopez water that we might do. But there is a restriction in the Briscoe turnout and the pipeline coming to us. It was cleaned out several years ago. It really increased the flow through the line. There was a deposition inside the pipe that had to be cleaned by what they call pigging. They pigged it out, and it really increased the capacity by maybe 15 to 20% through that line. And we're looking at, as I mentioned, you do have an intertie with Grover that can be activated and wheel water through Grover into part of your system. And we're also looking at a potential intertie with Arroyo Grande that would wheel water from Arroyo Grande through another intertie. So with three interties, we think that we can get more water coming into this district in arranging for less pumpage of groundwater.
And wouldn't it become necessary for us to convince our neighbors to use less groundwater also?
Yes, ma'am.
Because if they're pumping the groundwater, large amounts of groundwater, that is affecting us whether we're pumping groundwater or not, correct?
That's the purpose of this monitoring group, to determine what's happening to the overall groundwater basin, and then to make a cooperative effort on how we manage that resource for the benefit of all of us. And I think that you'll be seeing that we'll be looking to minimize groundwater pumpage by several factors. By us taking as much state water as we can, entering into a drought buffer agreement, so when the state limits our supply, like this year it was 40%, we can execute a drought buffer agreement with the county and actually get more state water. We might make some arrangements with our partners, meaning the other cities, to cooperate in that effort. It's the goal is simple, to pump less groundwater. The solution is a little complicated in terms of the agreements that we would have to make with everybody to be able to accomplish that.
I don't have any more questions, but I'm sure other members of the board may have questions.
I'm curious about these interties, because that means that you don't have to put in brand new piping and so forth, and which is an exorbitant amount of money. So you're saying with three, I understand that we were talking about using a booster pump and pushing more water through at that location. Yeah. Is that still on the table?
That would be a second choice, because pumps are expensive and the power is expensive to run them. If we can do it by gravity through interties, it would be much simpler and cost effective.
Do you know when we'll know about the engineering for this, if it would be a feasible thing to do? Because I'm thinking we need to get on this as soon as possible.
Right. We're going to be doing that quickly in the next several weeks. Hopefully we'll have a better answer for you when we come back on the 28th. But we do have to run that hydraulic model, assuming what we have to look at the other entities, see what effect it would have on their water supply and their hydraulics and their lines, and then what we could take from them at those points.
So we really are all in this together, and we've got to be sure that we're all working together.
And to commend everybody that's in these groups, all the folks from Grover and from Arroyo Grande are very cooperative in how we're approaching this and coming up with a common solution.
Thank you.
So the restriction in the water line is not between the Lopez treatment plant and the Briscoe turnout. Rather, it's between the Briscoe turnout and the OCSD water yard, basically.
Yeah. Mr. Hill has pointed out another construction in the whole system. And during peak summer days, when it's very hot and everybody is pumping water, the Lopez line coming down the hill also is a constriction. And there are ways to balance that out by storage and your tanks. And again, we're looking at that, especially with the city of Arroyo Grande, on how that might be balanced out.
Do I understand that the county has only, and Todd Engineering has only recently started monitoring the Sentry wells as a result of the groundwater settlement court order, and that those wells apparently, from the photos, didn't look to be well maintained for, let's say, more continuous use or continuous monitoring? So I'm wondering what the county's history of monitoring on those wells is. Do we have any data?
I'll find out for interties. How would that, would we be installing meters to see how much water is coming in at those places?
Exactly.
Okay.
Mary?
No, I got them all. Thank you very much for being on this. I think it's real important to pay attention to those wells as much as all the other water sources. So well, I do appreciate that.
Thank you.
Are there any questions from the public? Seeing.
I have a question.
Could you come up to the mic, please?
I'm Dave Angelo from Oceano. I'm not sure who to direct this to, but on the groundwater, I know there was talk years ago about how they were able to determine how much a farmer would take by the crop that he would grow, by the acreage and so forth and so on. I'm sure over the years those crops have changed, you know. Is anybody watching that, or?
Can you answer that, John, please?
Right there.
Okay. The question is, what is the ag usage in from the groundwater? And it is being looked at as part of the overall analysis of the groundwater basin. And Dave is right. The crops change over time. The number of crops in a season change over time. And so the estimates have been made by the Ag Department in the past, and those are being updated as part of the Zone 3 analysis of our water supply for Lopez as well as our groundwater studies. So I guess the short answer is yes, it's being looked at, and it's a little complicated by the changing cropping patterns and the types of crops that are grown in the valley these days.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Carol, come up to the microphone.
Hi, my name is Carol Henson, and I live in Halcyon Mobile Home Estates. And I have a question about the, we're discussing the state water being, you paying for the state water, even though you don't use all of it, you're paying for the water that you have contracted. And the possibility that Barbara suggested was to try to get more state water. And Mike will be attached to the state water?
To the Lopez, bill.
Lopez is a separate part of your water bill.
Right.
And a separate part of the cost to this district for its water supply. So there are two separate bills, one for Lopez and one for state
water. Well, I understand that's a line item, and I've had many questions about, you know, how that's billed. But what I've observed in the community with the water, of course, we all know that water is becoming more expensive, and everyone is trying to figure out some ways to, you know, make it feasible for the community to have it and promote conservation. And while people are trying to conserve their water, they're, you know, becoming more and more disgruntled and nervous over this, because to the point of not watering their lawns, not landscaping their yards, and it's very common now to go through Oceano and Grover Beach and different areas where you see very nice homes, but their whole landscaping outside, they've let go. And in my conversations with different people, you know, they're becoming discouraged because they say, regardless of how much we conserve, our water bill is increasing, not necessarily the water in the sewer, but it's like the Lopez assessment is a runaway train. And that makes up the larger part of any water bill. So there is, and it is kind of like a runaway train because there is no set amount that you ever are going to reach, and it's something that will continue on. There will always be improvements. There will always be something if this remains our only source of retaining the water. So it's something that will tithe up and up and up. There will never be a ceiling that you reach with the Lopez fee, and eventually what will happen is the water will be minuscule, you know, to the Lopez. So I was hoping that if you got more state water somehow or another, that you could like lower down that Lopez fee, because I do feel like the Lopez fee, there's no ceiling on it. There's no point that you're ever going to reach $10 trillion, and it will tithe up, and at some point it's going to become cost prohibitive. So I think that should be addressed someday about that. And thank you very much.
You're welcome. Any other public comment on this subject?
Farmers are not getting water. And it could be, you know, because the law, or maybe it's because the law is being used to confiscate people's properties for somebody else's purposes. So I think it would be very foolish for people for a community that has its own water source to throw that away and make itself dependent on another entity to provide their water that you can't trust. To even be, I mean, I don't know, the state's broke and the federal government's broke. So at some point, everything is going to crescendo, I think. And, you know, when the economy collapses, the state can't go to the federal government and say, give me more money, because the federal government's going to say, well, we don't have any more. We're broke. And so that means there's no recourse for Oceano at that point. I'd also like to maybe have you guys think about maybe what are the options for Oceano to keep getting water to the residents if the power goes out for more than 24 hours? What's the backup system? How long is that going to keep the pumps going? Is there a hand pump somewhere so people can at least get a bucket of water out there to their homes? What's the emergency plan here? Is there an emergency plan? And I think people need to start seriously thinking about that and laying out a plan, because the likelihood of something coming down like that is getting better and better every day. And if you don't know that yet, then you're not doing your job. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment? If not, I want to thank you, John, and your crew for coming and speaking to us. And I know you'll keep us updated.
Madam President and Board, I would just suggest that we'll be talking about this subject in more detail on the 28th.
Good.
And folks that are out in the audience or in the neighbors of the folks here, really would urge for them to come and hear a more up-to-date response to some of the questions that we've had tonight.
Okay, thank you very much.
Can I just ask John one more question?
Yes.
Okay. On the efficiency committee that you've volunteered to go on, which I applaud anybody who volunteers, is it going to look at the size of our pipe to get what we've bought, 100% of our water, whether it's, you know, through pumps, sub-pumps?
One is operations, one's financial. And primarily we're focusing on the waste, the water treatment plant at Lopez itself. However, the broader technical advisory committee that advises Zone 3 is looking at the delivery system as well. But the Efficiency Committee primarily is focusing on the operations for the new water treatment plant and making sure that that's as efficient as possible. Because there's been a lot of problems with that construction. It's worked out fine, but there's some things that are being replaced. There's some changes in chemical treatments that are being recommended that we're evaluating and recommending. So the delivery system is more looked at by the Technical Advisory Committee to Zone 3, and that has been a subject of concern for quite a while on how to get the water from Lopez down to the communities, especially in times of in the summertime where you have very hot days and high demand.
Right. And all the other towns are working on emergency preparedness, and there has been federal right. funds looking at right. emergency preparedness. So I know we got a great plan somewhere.
We will.
Okay.
One other question, if I might, John. Is the committee considering other administrative arrangements, such as possibly a separate district to take over the Zone 3 operations? One thing that's concerned me for a long time is the disjoint between the county, who does all the maintenance work, design, spending the money there, and the people of the communities downstream who end up paying the bill. And that disjoint concerns me greatly, and I think that one possible solution to that would be a reorganization of the entire Zone 3 operation, such that possibly the people who pay the bill have direct responsibility for incurring the costs and maintaining the system, rather than having a disjointed organization in full control of that. Are the committees looking at those kinds of possibilities?
The committee that I spoke of is not looking at that. That subject has come up on several different occasions in the past, and probably most recently 3, 4, or 5 years ago. And a lot of the participants of that's right. I don't foresee a change in that unless there was a drastic revelation of facts that says it's not efficient the way it is. And when you run the numbers, it's probably the least costly way to do it is the way it's being done right now. But the other side of the coin is the efficiency committees that we're working on are trying to figure out ways to do the present system more efficiently and less costly.
Well, it's possible, too, that the horse is already out of the barn as far as the seismic retrofit being 5x over cost and the water treatment plant being 5 or 6x over the estimates. That money's already spent and gone. So probably the ongoing operation of a new plant is the relatively simple part of the story. Just expressing some of my frustration with it.
Follow up on that question, John. When they looked at those costs, they looked at those not considering the recreation area, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I have to think about how that played into it, because I know that went back and forth, and now that the bonds have been paid off, it's a different situation with the Davis-Grunsky bonds that were passed and how Lopez was built. And I still think that the county will continue to operate the recreational area regardless of who operates the actual dam itself.
But if Zone 3 was able to take possession of the... Zone 3 was able to take possession of the dam, would that include the property that would do that is there, and therefore wouldn't they have the right to also have the possession of the recreational area?
I don't know.
That's kind of what makes the difference. If the recreational area comes with Zone 3, you're talking about a revenue item there that is part of the whole reservoir system that would and should cut down on the costs of the
I'm not sure that's that big a revenue generator.
They haven't let go of it yet.
But even so, the expenses on that are such that I don't think it's that big a revenue generator.
Yeah. The staff recommendations tonight. We will take a quick report on the audit from the general manager and from Jim, the board liaison.
The audit is going along as well as it can be. I hate to use the excuse short staff, but it is an excuse. It's not an excuse, it's a reality. But Gina's doing well, and we haven't heard the last thing that they said they asked for. We have provided it for them. So I don't know that they need anything else. Do you?
No, it's 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Do you have a report, Jim?
I have not heard from the auditor lately, but I will have a report for the next meeting. The last that I've heard is I believe they have everything they need, and they're
That's exactly how I understand it. The last item that they asked for, Gina provided it for them. So I hope to report at the next meeting exactly what the status is.
So when was the last time you contacted them?
Myself was about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so did anybody ask them for an estimate of when they would be done?
I will be speaking with them later this week, and I'll report to the full board on our next meeting.
Okay. Did you ask them, Jim? I mean, that was kind of hopefully the reason for the interaction.
At the last time I contacted them, they didn't yet have all of the stuff that they had requested, and I understand that that has been delivered. So I don't have a final estimate of when the audit will be done.
Okay, thank you. Resolution regarding the loan securitization. I don't think I said that properly.
Well, they're referring it to it as Proposition 1A, and then that securitization program. I'm glad to report to the board that we have applied. The deadline has been pushed back to November 6th. I spoke with someone today to make sure, and I have a name and a phone number, that they received our application, because I was concerned. I had sent it to them earlier in the week, and they were supposed
budget.
Do we need to take any action on loan securitization?
No.
Okay.
No, we already, you know, we did that last time. Yes, yeah, so we're on the budget now. Do you want a 5-minute break right now before we start the budget?
Whatever you say.
Everybody need? Yeah, 5-minute break, and then we will come back to the budget. Ryan, you have a little something that you wanted to say?
Yeah, directors, I apologize. I had to step out to talk to the district engineer briefly before the 1A securitization conversation came up. I did want to let the board know, kind of late-breaking news today, the State Senate did pass Senate Bill 67. It's going to the governor's office, but assuming he signs it, which everyone believes he will, loan securitization is going to happen. Documents that we had previously looked at may get modified slightly. I don't really anticipate much change other than references to dates or the actual Senate bills, but securitization is going to happen.
You know, we can kind of hear you guys, and it's a little distracting.
I think your microphone, yeah. So good news on the securitization, and I believe that November 6th is the new date that everything has to be turned in. My understanding is that we are enrolled. We've reviewed the documents pretty thoroughly, other than a couple, I would call, non-substantive changes. think it's going to be set to go. And now that the Senate bill has passed, in case there is any type of little tweaks that California communities think that we need to make to the language of resolutions or whatnot, we will have it done ready for the next meeting to get it.
That's great.
Get it through.
Yes. And then that 8% would be back.
That 8% will come
budget.
Back, and I believe it's in two increments. I don't know the exact dates, but essentially it's November.
Oh, that will be wonderful.
May, so.
That would be great.
And then, is that right, November?
Thank you.
December.
I thought it was January.
Well, don't listen to me. As
well, whenever we get it, we would appreciate
yeah.
it totally. Okay.
Thought that, well, I should bring something to the board, and the only thing that I would like to add at this point, with your permission, is on page 12 under the personnel issue, it lists the total people that are requested in this budget, and I would hope that with the board's permission, in my area it's asking for 5 positions, and I would like to only ask for 4.5. And that way, first of all, it'll save $20,000 off the top, so we can reduce that expense by $20,000. Second of all, how I intend to do that, it's not speculation or pie in the sky or anything like that. It's a real simple plan. We presently have some vacancies, and I want to start tomorrow with the board's permission. The first position I want to fill will be an accounts payable person with an accounting background, and I would like to pay him between that $39,000 to $40,000 range where we have a step in there, and I'm looking for a person with, depending on education and experience, 5 years of experience or at least a 2-year college or some type of certificate in accounting, and then that way we can move forward with the things we have to do, such as the payroll and paying the bills and so on and so forth. And then if that person finishes those tasks, the rest of their position, him or her, would be secretarial. And the reason I say that that would save the bottom line at least $20,000 is because in this budget there was the old office manager position that my predecessor just wrote as secretary bookkeeper, and you know, I don't think that's exactly what I'm looking for. I really like the accounts payable person, which would be a, you know, an accountant 2 rather than 1, and hopefully their job primarily will be accounts payable, but depending on who we get, some of those people have done accounts receivables as well. And then if they haven't, it would be my goal to train him or her so that besides doing the accounts payable, if we need help on the accounts receivable side, we could use them. And then after I fill that position, I would like to fill position, and then we would fill in with secretarial work or basic office details that we would need to. So I'm sure that I could run the office effectively and efficient between now and the end of this budget, June 29th, with 4.5 staff.
Okay, so what you're saying, you would the full-time position would read general manager, administrative assistant, accounting clerks 2.5?
It would read general manager, administrative assistant, accounts payable,
okay,
accounts receivable, and a half person.
Okay.
And Raphael, let me ask you, we contract a lot of the accounting work out. Would that make a difference in that temp person, that expertise that we pull in each year when we get crazed or whenever it's needed?
Well, presently or in the long term, Director?
Let's say long term.
In long term, no. When we have filled the 4.5 positions that I'm requesting, and the people are trained effectively and efficiently at their job, we'll be able to do that job and run that office with 4.5 people.
So we won't have to get that
no.
that the temps to come in and
no.
Now, because of their expertise in bookkeeping.
Exactly. We can't do that right now because, one, we don't have the people, and, two, we're so far behind. But then when you have the staff and you catch up, then you can do that.
Okay. No, I don't expect it to happen overnight. Some things, so yeah. But. So actually, it would be more than a 20K savings. Because in the long run, we would be able to eliminate those expensive temps.
But the reason I don't know what the savings right now would be, because we don't know how long it's going to take to fill the position and train them so that we can eliminate the bringing in the part-timers and so on and so forth.
Right.
That's why I say we'll have that figure and a greater savings on the budget that will follow this. Because between now and June 30th, we'll know exactly what it's going to cost us to run the office.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Did you want to hire that half person as a regular employee, or use a temp for it? Or
No, it would be a regular employee, but it would be a half-time position.
Okay.
And in my management style, I always like to have a half-time position. Full-time people, and they're gone. You're either out the production, or you have no room unless you do, as Director Lucy said earlier, and I don't want to do that. Then you have to bring in additional people.
Our next changes,
we only put in here changes that the board asked us to.
Okay, there were some, there were suggestions, but.
But the suggestions, unless it was by a majority of the board or by all of them, you know, they're not in this present version of the budget. Because there wasn't enough time to act on those between my predecessor left October 2nd and I started October 12th.
Okay, I note that pages 16 through 20, which normally would have the summaries, are blank, so that's a matter of taking what's in the other funds and developing the summary pages that would be completed in the approved budget.
Exactly.
I presume.
Exactly.
We did make summary sheets, but thinking that there would be changes tonight, we thought it best to leave them out.
Well, one of the things we can add back in is the 8% that we will be getting from the loan securitization program, correct?
Director, if that's your pleasure, we'll do so, but the economist in me says, with the state promising, I'd rather receive the funds before I included them in the budget and then have a budget shortfall.
Okay.
And if we get it, it'll be easy to put it in because it's just in the fire department anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
A little bit of lighting, but...
Well, it's really not the state that does that loan securitization program. It's the California cities.
There are several places that we noticed that the amount that is budgeted does not match in the narrative portion, and we will correct that in the final version that we have.
Okay.
And which would govern? The portion in the tables, I presume, would govern...
That's
for
each page.
24 and 25. Account 3255 for inspection fees on admin. It's a relatively small amount, $1,500, but I'm just not sure what admin inspections we do. And then contracted engineering services for plan checks is also charged on admin. I would think that'd be charge to the other.
The reason that there is an admin charge in there is some administrative services performed by the engineering firm that are not specific. All his other charges are billed directly to specific projects. This is where the maybe $1,500 a month might come in once in a while.
Okay.
And maybe I'm working off an old budget, and I apologize, but I just have my
book, you know, so that I was at the last meeting, so I'm just going to go by the minutes until I get a newer version. But let me, and Gina, maybe you can help me here, is that we work with a lot of subcontractors, such as the sanitation department, you know, the dispatch people, you know, other groups. And like for example, when we get our water bill, there's a line item on there that's for sanitation.
Correct.
And then there's the Lopez Dam retrofit, right? So the sanitation district, that's really a billing that we put in our billing system because we basically have the same population that we're reaching. That so we put sanitation and water together along, you know, and of
we
course
have a
Lopez.
With the sanitation
okay.
district to do their billing for them.
Okay. Does the contract cover all the administrative expenses for doing from the beginning to the end of their billing or their administrative stuff or their staff time that is spent? I'm just not quite sure that we're getting our, for lack of a better term, our fair share with our neighbors, our friends, our family and stuff. So when I look at the, and I'm only using the sand district as an example, you know, just expenses associated with including their administrative stuff, which would be billing mainly, and preparing the statements and mailing them. And does it cover the entire expense?
If you are looking at the sanitation district agreement, they pay us $821.43 every 2 months to do the billing and collections for them. That rate was established 25 years ago.
Now, has anybody, now to me, that would be, you know, a service, and it should be a fee for service. You know, and no, it's not in the water department or the fire department or the, you know, sewer department, but it's in the administrative department. And so I see kind of like all these little holes, and those holes cost money. So you're saying that 821 was negotiated 25 years ago?
That's correct. And I think directly.
So wouldn't that kind of fall under like fees and stuff like that?
Well, it's a contract arrangement, but I think you discussed it at the last board meeting and that you spoke with the...
It's what we're considering in the ad hoc committee, is kinds of fees and things where we know we are not capturing what it costs us, and there are many of them. There are a lot of developer costs that we have to look at.
Well, let's
there
talk about admin costs. For a minute. Will you cover that under your ad hoc report?
We're going to give you kind of an update of what we're looking at, yes.
Okay, my question is, was it discussed? Was the administrative component of this organization discussed in your ad hoc committee for fees?
That was a list of one of the things we're talking about. Last time we talked about fire and sewer kinds of situations, and we are going to attack them bit by bit as we're going along.
So
it's
you've
on
had,
our list, let's
so,
say. It's on our list to look at.
So, well, then that's kind of, I guess I'm a little confused. So has there been more than one meeting of this ad hoc committee?
One meeting. Mm-hmm.
And ad hoc really kind of means temporary. It's not a standing. So are you planning on this being a standing?
No.
No. Okay.
I just have one little thought when you were talking about the cost of the sewer bills.
Hill can tell you about that. They will have an automatic raise again next May 1st. And
okay.
That's part of what the 821 covers, is our having the programmer change the rates in the system twice. Once because it hits in the middle of a billing period, and then again when it's 100% on the following.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking, you know, in the end, we're just charging our own people additional money. Because we're only billing Oceano people, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, just because the district hasn't been reviewed for 25 years, it doesn't mean the community's billing hasn't changed in 25 years.
No, I'm just...
You know, I mean, the rates go up for us no matter whether
I'm not
they,
saying whether we
they
should or not,
it
Mary.
Or not.
I was just trying to figure out, are we just passing the cost of doing that bill?
I think we should have that discussion under the water plan.
Yeah.
If we're going to have that discussion, then raising the water rates, let's have that discussion.
That's fine. Mine was just kind of out of the blue. About
where it was going.
Well, I'm glad you do because I wasn't sure.
I have a couple other specific comments.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Just the air compressor is a 60-40 shared between sewer 60%, water 40%.
I think I have the percentages wrong in there.
No, I think it's right.
Oh, okay.
It's intended to be 60 sewer and 40 water, which is what it says. It's all correct. But the it isn't mentioned in
the narrative.
The water narrative. So
just
a comment. And second on
not sure what page
that is on 47.
Thank you.
Or it could run over to 48 on the narrative. Second comment is on page 40 for fire department revenues. There's no totals. Somehow those are lost in the translation I got.
Oh, and can we go back to page 47? Because it does mention the compressor there. In the...
Okay, I see it now. 60, split 40 to 60 with sewer. Okay.
Okay.
That was... I'm commenting on an older draft.
Okay.
Thank you. But on page 40...
In the revenues?
On the revenues.
Oh, it did go away, didn't it? Page, the regular revenues are down to the subtotal under 3234, and then it has less franchise fees transferred to restricted reserves of 26,400. Below the line, what we changed were the figures for the exhaust removal system. Now we had the actuals of 33,250 and our match of 46,64. And then the OHV fees of 54,614. Those are in there this year because although we received the revenue last year, all the expenditures relating to that source are being made this fiscal year. But the bottom line's not going to change then. There'd be no dramatic changes in it.
Okay, but we'll fill in the numbers.
When we did the summary sheet, I think we would have seen it then.
Okay. Did you have anything else, Jim?
Just a general comment. We seem to use different terminologies for the same things in our budget and in our ordinances for water and sewer fees and things like that. And I think that potentially leads to confusion, and I would just suggest, obviously this year's budget's beyond the point of doing that, but I'd like to see us use the same terminology for the same subject, like sewer revenue fees or whatever the term is used in our ordinances that describe the fees or describe the deposits that people put.
The lateral deposits,
those sort of things. I'd like to see those discussed using the same terminology throughout rather than call it Lopez fees here and...
...and what changes you want to make there, and then we'll finalize changes for next year.
Good, because just using the same language for everything tends to make everybody, at least they may not be always happy, but at least they'll understand what's going on.
Thank you.
Pamela, did you have any?
No, I had taking care of these.
I would just like to have a conversation on the request that the general manager has made as far as personnel is concerned to see if that's something the board agrees with or not.
I'm very pleased that the general manager's...
We didn't hear what you said.
Okay. The request was to have a conversation up here based on whether the board was in agreement with the general manager as far as the changes to the number of personnel, and I think from the sounds of it, we all are already. So it's at this point now moot.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Mary, did you have anything else?
No. Just that we continue to really review this thing every 60 days, you know, until we get it straightened out.
That's another issue, is we've never had an ongoing summary of where we're at with the budget. It's like we pass the budget, and then a year later, we figure out that we're way, way going in the hole. And I don't think that that's a really prudent way to do business. So hopefully on a like a bi-monthly basis, we'd be able to follow the budget, see if we're on track with the budget, what's running over budget, what can we do to either keep it under control or reauthorize. If we're running under budget, can we reallocate some things? We've never really had those types of presentations, and I'd like to see that instituted.
Director Hill, I was going to speak a little bit about that later, but seeing how you brought it up, now's a good time. Yesterday, Gina and I entertained at great lengths. A group was here, a Tyler Technology Group, per your direction of the board in regard to upgrading our computer system. And they came in and they did a real nice dog and pony show, and they brought us other government entities that, you know, they've recently done, such as Paso Robles, like, for example, per month. And, you know, it's my intent that every, at least if we don't do it before, but every quarter, because at a quarter is a good time to do it, because the way the revenue flows through and stuff, and then basically you're reporting to the board the same thing that you're reporting on the 941 forms to the federal government with the quarterly taxes. And we specifically asked for that, and now I don't know if we can afford this particular group that was here, and we are going to get additional prices from other groups. But we addressed that twice yesterday. One, move forward with the computer, and two, make sure that it gives us the budgetary information, where expenses are, whether you're on budget, whether you're over budget, which departments went over, so we can share that with the board.
My thanks to the staff for doing this and proceeding very quickly on it. It's something that is high on our list of things to have done, because we don't want to be in this situation anymore. This
Director Dean, yesterday this group was very sophisticated in their presentation, and I was really, really proud of Gina. Gina asked a question that even the group didn't know the answer to, as far as, you know, how we need the system to work. And before that point, they were much more, what can I say, confident, and they thought they had all the answers, and, you know, well, we've done government billing, we've done this, we've done that. Mm-hmm. And then Gina shared with them a situation that when people come to the counter, this is how we provide services, and this is the information we need. And all of a sudden, the group was, everyone was looking at each other. I had all I could do not to, you know, laugh, because I wanted to maintain a professional demeanor, but Gina did a great job. And then after, when they came around, they said, wow, you know, she's been here 29 years. Well, my point is, we want a system that is better than one we have, and that it's going to provide good service to us at minimum cost. Mm-hmm. And we're working on it as we speak.
Thank you very much.
Well done. Thank you.
Is there anything else in the budget that we want to address?
No. No, I don't have anything else. So I guess at this point, go ahead and make a motion.
Well, public comment. Public comment on the budget at this point.
I don't know. I'm Larry.
You spend less. You know, we
so we're making a profit, huh? Or
we're not supposed to make a profit.
We're losing money?
Not supposed to lose money. Well, but, I mean, you get your money from property tax twice a year.
What's the state of affairs each month? When you, I know you're asking, you have to pay bills every month, right?
Right.
And you are paying bills each month?
Yes.
So each month, how much are we losing? It's a simple question. I'd like to know.
It is a simple question. You're absolutely right.
I'd like to know.
It should be a simple answer.
Well, I'd like each board to acknowledge whether we know that we're losing money each month, and how much do we have left? I mean, if we continue this way.
I'm sorry, Gina, what?
Over $1 million.
We have over $1 million.
We have a million?
Pardon me?
If we continue this way, how much will we have left? I understand that, am I right that there has not been an audit in, is it 2 years or 4 years?
No, that's not.
Well, what is the...
The audit that they're working on now is for last year, 2008.
When's the last...
2009 budget, which just ended July, or June 30, is not due right now. So they're finishing up last year's budget. Last year's audit. That's what we're waiting on.
It's 2 years, right?
It's 1 year, basically.
We have...
Hey, look, you got to warn me when you hit that, because you know what? Yes. Last time you almost broke my eardrum.
Well, you want to talk, you have 3 minutes up here. If you don't, please...
I ask you, Madam President, to put a piece of felt or something on that.
I'll hand it to you, and you can bang it when they get out of order.
I ain't banging that.
I don't think I'm out of order.
No,
I'm just,
you're not, Larry.
I'm just asking questions.
I wasn't banging at you.
All right, so...
Can I explain one thing? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Larry, I was going to tell you that what happens here, what's most important is that you understand how much money you're allocating in a budget for a given period, okay?
Okay.
So the answer to your question is, well, you know, how can I spend more in 1 month than I take in?
Right.
The secret is don't spend more than you budgeted for. We're finalizing those numbers as we speak. The auditors are working on that. But my information to you is, I want you to view that the budget, it's an annual expenditure.
Fine.
Okay? So...
But we pay the bills every month.
And as Gina said earlier, you know, the float, there's over $1 million in the checking account. We have enough money to pay the bills.
How long will this last?
But what we don't want to do is we don't want to overspend the line items. That's what will get you in trouble.
How long is this going to last until our reserves are depleted? So we're supposed to wait until they're... if in fact we're spending more monthly...
Okay, we're having a...
Can I possibly have a public?
3 minutes. Jim's going to... We're not having a debate here.
Okay.
Jim has a statement he wants to make, and you're 3 minutes, sir. We understand your question.
I'll
attempt to answer your question. For our last audited years, which was 2 years ago, the district spent more money than it took in. So we went in the hole. Now, they're correct in saying that on a monthly basis, some months we get huge inflows from property tax money and so forth, and other months we have huge expenses for Lopez and those kind of things. So on a monthly basis, it doesn't make too much sense to look at it on a monthly basis, but on an annual basis, as they say, those things average out. But the average for the last more than a year, and speaking in audited terms 2 years ago, the district has spent more money than it's taken in by a fairly considerable amount. My estimate, the fact of the matter is that no one up front here knows what the status of our expenditures are for either 2007-2008 or 2008-2009. Those numbers have not been audited. However, our budgeted amount for 2008-2009 included the assumption that a mid-year rate increase would be made for water and sewer that never happened. And I could hazard a guess that the amount that the district spent in excess of what it took in 2007-2008 was on the order of $100,000 or more. And last year, we made the same assumption that a rate increase would be made. It was never made. This budget that we're about to entertain tonight assumes that a rate increase will be made mid-year. And there's a number of things that impede that, not the least of which is the fact that our audits are not yet complete. The 07-08 audit is nearing completion. The 08-09 audit is not yet, as correctly stated, at over $1 million.
I see a half a million dollar deficit, at least.
I'm sorry, but you're...
I see a half a million dollar deficit from what you described, at least.
Thank you very much, Larry.
Am I correct? Am I...
Over allocated over probably 3 years.
Right.
Brian?
So the audit will be available for the public when it's finished?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, my understanding is that, so the auditors are working on the 07-08 year, correct?
Right.
And then they're going to start on the 08-09.
Correct.
And typically, but I don't know in everybody else's world, but typically in my world and other worlds, you start your audit 90 days from the close of your fiscal year. That gives you 90 days to get all your invoices in and everything paid out, and like the IRS, when are our taxes due?
That would be October 1st that they should be starting the audit. The year ended June 30th.
Right, and we're into October.
Which is 90 days.
So 08-09, they'll start 08-09 after they finish the year before. I'd like to go back to Larry. Larry, I hear you loud and clear, because what I'm used to working on is a year-to-date expenditure, and received, it's actually a year-to-date expense report. What your annual budget, what you budgeted for, and what you have spent from year to date. And then, I've never seen one of those in this district, and I'm sure they exist, but that's where I get lost, because for example, I cannot find the cash for the water department. When people come in and pay cash for their water, where are those in revenue? It doesn't spell it out for me clear enough. So I think with the new accounting system, we'll be able to narrow it down for a year-to-date report.
If you'd like to come in, I'll show you on the revenue page where the revenues come in and what they're called.
Great. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Okay. Now, do you have a year-to-date revenue sheet or something like that?
For which year?
Any year would be great.
Sure, of course.
Okay.
I think we have to remember that we have...
I've asked staff over a month ago to provide the status of the restricted reserves in the district, and they've been unable to supply me with that. So the clock is still running, and my request is still there. And hopefully someday they'll be able to provide that information, but the last detail we have of that's about a year and a half old.
And I think it's something that we've all asked for, Jim, not just you.
That's true. I just started a clock on it, though, about a little over a month ago.
Well, so. I've never gotten one, and I've been here almost a year.
You wouldn't get one individually. I mean,
when we get
But as a board member who has to spend other people's money, right, we like to know what we brought in. I think the people need to know, and we need to know to make sound fiscal decisions.
Yes.
And so it's hard to vote on, you know, when the warrants come and they say 85, but they really mean 165, but they don't say 85. And then the poker game starts. It's hard to operate that way.
Right now, let's concentrate on the budget of what we're going to do, if we're going to accept this budget or if we're not. And any more public comment? 3 minutes, please.
My name is Carol, and my public comment regarding the budget. Last week when you were here, you did discuss the budget, and you were essentially saying that, you know, we were bleeding out and you were trying to figure out even the smallest things that you could accomplish to save money for the district. And I do definitely agree that it's very important to get accounts receivable and payable clerks and have a continuity within the district. I'm sorry. Have some continuity rather than having people that you hire and you bring them in at certain times when you need them. I think that needs to be maintained in-house, and you know, the same people deal with it all the time. And there was some discussion about people who come in and pay utility bills, and because you're a small district, you do handle cash, and there was discussion about how many people that you would need in the front office, and that had to be taken into consideration, and that people came in intermittently throughout the day, throughout the week. And it's been my experience that over the years in small governments and offices, and when people do take cash payment, they will either get it. But I believe that you probably could eliminate someone in the front office if you didn't always feel that you had to have someone there to personally handle cash receipts as they came in. And I also have a question. I don't know what the reason for it is, but we've just had a storm and it's kind of cold and chilly. And I noticed last week in the bathroom up here that there's an air conditioning unit going and there's a restrictor so the light can't be turned off. And again, when I've been in public and government offices and cities and different areas, they always have a sign that says, please turn the light off or please turn the light on. And then when the light is on, the air, whatever, the fan and everything goes on. So while I know that we like to be comfortable and everything, I don't think with our weather now, at least in the winter, that the air conditioning is warranted or the light being on all the time. And those are just my suggestions.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. All right, bringing it back to the board. Another...
Nina Grabiel, Oceano. I was just wondering, does everybody have their budget on single pages like this? Printed on single pages, or is it double-sided pages?
Just like yours.
Okay, well, you know, paper's not cheap anymore. And it's my understanding we got a $30,000 copy machine. I'm sure that machine can make double-sided copies and collate. Otherwise, we got really burned. So, I don't know why we're spending so much money on paper. I don't know. Seems kind of silly to me. Let me get back to where I was. Okay, so on page 25, I mean, if you want the public to scrimp on their household expenditures to pay their bills, then I think we should be scrimping here on paper, at least. Okay. I'm looking at administrative expenditures, and I'm looking at these columns, 2008-09 budget, 2008-09 actual. So that's for last year. Maintenance looks like it went up $9,000. I'd like to get explanations for some of these things. I don't know if they're in here. Maybe they are. I haven't looked at the whole budget. Memberships went up $4,600. What's that? That's like more than double. What was allocated? Okay, let's see here. 235. It just tells us what. These are just These aren't really very specific, I don't think. These are just general descriptions. I think if you're going to go over budget, it should be explained in more detail and justified. I know whenever I worked for the state, if we were going over any of our budgets or our allocations, we had to have a justification. What's going on here? How come we don't have that kind of process here? Isn't that your job as directors to make sure that things are done in a forthright manner?
I'll ask the general manager to address your questions because, again, this is not a give and take between you and the board. Would you address
Well, he's brand please? New.
Well, I...
He has an administrative assistant sitting
there. I read the line items across, for example, in your comment on account number 200. Last year, 14,000 was budgeted, and the actual was 19,980. I call your attention to this year, the request is for 15,000. So that means we intend to lower that expenditure.
Okay. But that doesn't mean, according to what's what the actual, it doesn't mean that's really going to happen, right? I mean, I don't want to pick on you, sir. Don't ask me to.
I don't.
But I'm just looking at the MO, you know, the modus operandi for this district that has been in place for I don't know how many years now, and I think it needs to stop. You know, the administrative assistant is supposed to. You know, especially if they're getting bumps in salary to run the thing.
If I could make
a brief comment in response, the board interviewed the new general manager at great length before he was hired, and I'm very confident that he fully understands the need to minimize cost in the office and in the district's operations. And I'm confident he brings a skill set to us that'll allow him to do that. And I believe we're going to start seeing things like quarterly reviews of the budget and where we are and where things may tend to be moving askew. And we will be able to address those things in a timely fashion rather than be surprised by finding out at the end of the year where things have gone off track.
Your time is up. Thank you very much. Bringing it back to the board again. Yes, Mary?
President Mann, I would ask that, you know, I think that all the issues that have been raised by the board and by the public are all very valid concerns. And some of us had time to write some of these down, and some of us have been harping about double-sided paper for years, which is absolutely true. Paper has doubled in price, you know. Is there some way that we can incorporate, you know, people could write down their suggestions just like the board does and submit them to the staff? Because, you know, every little bit can help at this point. The more brains you have here, the more suggestions on how to cut expenses, the better off everybody is, you know, all egos aside. So is there some way that you can, like, maybe accommodate that?
Well, I'm sure that you can... send a note or an email into staff.
Well, as the leader, maybe you could say that. People...
What I'm saying right now, if you have some suggestions, for example, copying on both sides of the paper, and by the way, I do know the agenda was copied on both sides of the sheet this time, and I was glad to see that. We can email that in. I think it wouldn't be a good idea to call up and tie them up. With these suggestions, and there are other areas that I'm sure all the board members have come up with places to save money that we have done or are going to be doing. It isn't something they're going to write down in this budget that now we copy on both sides of the paper.
Well, no, what I'm trying to capture is the suggestions.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to capture. So, Raphael, if you could, like, you know, maybe tell people what your email address is, how you can reach you, you know. I think that that's what we're probably looking for.
The other thing is, why not a suggestion box? A lot of people come in and pay their bills with cash. We can just put, if you have any ideas about how to save money in this district, please let us know and put it in the suggestion box. It's a simple, easy way to do it, and then we can get to those ideas and look at them and bring them to all of us and report back.
And you'll be on the counter tomorrow.
Thank you.
Mention of a suggestion box. And then the big picture people said, the advantage of having a suggestion box is someone that has a good idea but is afraid to confront his or her supervisor or is afraid someone's going to step on someone's toes or whatever, they're not adverse to dropping a suggestion in a suggestion box. So we ordered a suggestion box from Quill. We put it in the employee lounge in the kitchen, and I'm glad to say it was a very good idea. We got some very good suggestions, and it's minimal maintenance. It's just a little black box that hangs on a wall, and people put suggestions in, and then you open it and share them either with the board or some oversight committee, and we'll start shopping for suggestion boxes in the morning. Thank you for your time and attention.
We have about 15 more minutes before we're going to go into closed session. So we need to decide what we're going to do with this budget at this point.
Well, I'm ready to make a motion on it. And I'd like to move that we accept this budget with the tables governing the summaries and the summaries that are missing to be given to us at a later date. And on page 12, the personnel to for administrative personnel to have one general manager, one administrative assistant, to remove the secretary bookkeeper position, have one accounts payable position, have one accounts receivable position, to remove or to change the account clerk position from two to one half person, and to have the totals on page 40 included and given to us at the same later date.
Yes, Raphael.
I just wanted to for the public to know that the sheet, the latest one, is 17 as far as the total expenditures. And as Director Hill said, we don't know whether or not we'll be able to actually realize the additional water rate increases, but basically what the expenditure sheet says for total revenue is $4,486,877. And what we're asking the board...
Would you take a friendly amendment to...
Sure.
Also to have the reserves attached to the budget.
Can I ask one more question?
No.
No, not at this point.
I'm a taxpayer.
I'm in the middle of a motion.
Oh, okay. When it's over, can I ask?
Yes.
I would second that motion. I would second Vern's motion.
Can you restate the motion?
Madam President, I would say that we're actually in the form of a resolution here to approve the budget.
Okay.
You do have the resolution in front of you.
Okay.
It's resolution, and right now we do not have...
I don't have the...
a number.
It's 2009-XX. We are going to... Okay, it's a resolution adopting the 2009-2010 fiscal year budget. It'll be resolution number 2009-13.
Okay. All right. Now, Larry, quickly.
I'd like to thank you, Raphael, for being so clear. The question I have now, you told us what we expect next year. Now, I'd like the same two figures about last year. Tell me what our proposed budget was and where did we go for this last year.
I would point out that that's not actually in front of the board right now.
Yeah.
The discussion is about the 2009-2010 budget.
Yeah, I know, but my question is again.
Larry, can you call the district and ask them, and they can tell you that they can pull last year's budget, and they have the year-end figures.
Okay, I'm saying right now to the district, I'd like to have both of those figures. Sometimes just mail it to me, call me up, and tell me about it. Just same way that you gave the two figures, I want what happened. What those two figures are last year.
Okay, that's fair.
Thank you.
All right, so.
And I need a point of clarification, Madam President.
Sure.
You stated that if there was a savings of $200,000, that it would be put back into the reserves. Can you tell us a guesstimate of how much has been pulled from the reserves?
Acquisition-wise, it's in here by department.
So, would it be considered one of the? Would it be the flex or the flip account? Would it be the $1.2 million that slowly was utilized?
No.
Okay, well.
I know what you're talking about. No.
You know, for a board member, this is humiliating and embarrassing to not know this. This is our reserves. This is our nest egg.
Shame on you.
I know exactly how much is in my nest egg.
Shame on you.
You know, so I'm just asking as a board member, as a taxpayer, just give me the bottom line. Just give it straight up.
I remind the public that if the cat calls, do get out of hand so as to interfere with the
Well, it's not out of hand, Ryan, and I think people have the right to speak.
You're the ones that are screwing up, not us.
So, Madam President, as one of the co-chairs for the Fiscal Committee, can you give me a guesstimate on how much has been tapped into the reserves?
Director Lucy, if I could interject here.
Please do.
I don't expect any of you to have that figure. As Vice President Hill says, he's asked for it. For a month, what our restricted reserves are. And I'm sorry, that's my fault. I haven't had time to do it. I will make a point of doing it before the next board meeting.
Okay.
Then you will all have it.
And you're going to do that as of what date?
Well, I'll start by having the correct balance at June 30, 09.
Okay.
What we have each year when we project our projections in there, yeah. When the audit comes in, we put the actuals in. I can update through 08, hopefully, and then we'll have the estimates for 09.
Okay. And is that the what you wanted in here, Madam President?
Yeah.
Okay. And so I've been asked for a friendly amendment to have.
No, we just have to do the resolution.
Okay. But there's been some changes that have been requested during the course of this.
That doesn't change.
Not the dollar amount.
Doesn't change the dollars amount.
Okay. So how do we include that in the
They've been directed, right?
Wait, and I believe Vice President Hill read the text of the proposed resolution last year.
State this as, or let this motion go according to the what's written here. And I'll ask our general manager if you could read it.
The Oceano Community Service District, Resolution Number 2009-XX13, a resolution adopting the 2009-2010 fiscal year budget. Whereas the district is required, pursuant to state codes, to designate a custodian for its money, and whereas such custodianship requires that proper methods be used for the acquisition and disbursements of district monies, and whereas the district deserves to make known its planned activities and associated costs for the 2009-2010 fiscal year. Now, therefore, be it resolved, determined, and ordered by the Board of Directors, Oceano Community Service District, San Luis Obispo County, California, as follows. Number one, that the proposed budget entitled Proposed 2009-2010 Budget Oceano Community Service District be adopted as follows. General fund appropriations, $626,500.
street lighting fund appropriations, $44,915. Fire department fund appropriations, $752,485. Water fund appropriations, $1,905,565. Sewer fund appropriations, $1,246,387. Garbage fund appropriations, $61,374. Major litigation fund appropriations, $10,000 even. Sheriff's facility fund appropriations, $6,100. Number two, that the final budget be administered as established by past policies and practices. Upon motion of
changed Director Dahl.
Director Dahl, seconded by
Director Vice President Bookout.
No, by Director Dean.
By Director
Says
Dean.
Bookout.
And
yeah.
On the following roll call vote.
Says Bookout.
Roll call.
Are we ready?
Yes.
I lost my form.
Which page?
Page 25.
The resolution or the page?
Page 25.
The subtotal looks like it's relatively accurate,
right,
but the total doesn't carry forward.
Account number 276.
No, which is correct, on the general, on the resolution or on Jim's page?
On Jim's page.
Okay. Is correct.
Yes.
Okay, so we need to change this to
the general fund appropriation to 629,500.
Okay. Any others, Jim?
I just started making sure that the resolution addressed what we've got. Since the fire totals are not there, well, that's revenue. The expenses don't, let's see, 752, 485. Okay, that comes off the subtotal line. Not counting
the 752, where it doesn't include the things that are funded with the reserves or grant funds.
So our appropriations, though, are going to include those things, are they not?
No, well, not consistently. For the last 3 years, the resolution has only given what the subtotal of 752 represents, not okay, including the reserve.
But the is that consistent with the street lighting fund? Looks like the total is what's given for the street lighting fund.
I'm sorry, what about the street lighting fund? That's not use of restricted reserves. That's a new acquisition. The $6,000 for this new fixture.
Okay.
That's for the window.
752,485. That looks correct. Water. Water looks correct at the subtotal level.
Mary, the $2,500 is for the window and the sheriff. That's a capital. It isn't $6,100.
I'm just looking at the resolutions. That's
but
resolution says $6,100.
Yeah, but it's not for the. That's not the total amount of the window.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
And let me ask you, the codification, would that be the $59,000 that was spent? Would that be under the general fund appropriations? Would that be paid back?
So how does the sewer add up with
that we allow?
The total given with sewer, which includes
carrying it as an expense item.
Reserve items, is the number that shows on the resolution.
I apologize. You know, I followed last year's format, and making it consistent with everything else, it should only be the $418,700. Because the things below the line are either passed through or with reserves. 65.
Oh, 65. We have to have these figures correct before we do this resolution.
Director Mann, is there, what would the damage be of getting this right and passing another temp budget like you've been doing? To get all the information in place correct and then pass it the next time?
Actually, the resolutions in prior years until last year did not include a breakdown of the expenditures.
Right.
That was the first time we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I followed the template from last year. And
right, I understand, and that's why I'm trying to give
but it's not
a little
changing
bit more time.
Any of the dollars in here. The whole resolution has to be retyped in order to put in the vote anyway. And as long as we can agree on what the figure should be.
Director Mann, did you bring a motion? Director Dean seconded it?
No, it was Director Dahl.
I'm
Director
sorry,
Dahl. Director Dean.
Director Dahl, you're going to want to withdraw your motion.
All right, so withdrawn.
And I would propose that you offer the following motion, resolution adopting the 2009-2010 fiscal year budget as resolution number 2009-13. Whereas the district is required pursuant to state codes to designate a custodian for its money, and whereas such custodianship requires that proper methods be used for the acquisition and disbursements of district monies, and whereas the district desires to make known its planned activities and associated costs for the 2009-2010 fiscal year. Now, therefore, be it resolved, determined, and ordered by the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District, San Luis Obispo County, California, as follows. 1. That the proposed budget entitled Proposed 2009-2010 Budget of the Oceano Community Services District be adopted as follows. For general fund appropriations, $629,500. For street lighting fund appropriations, $44,915. For fire department fund appropriations, $752,485. For water fund appropriations, $1,905,565. For sewer fund appropriations,
$310,585. Is that correct? Vice President Hill.
Let me get there.
It's on page 65, line 394, then there's subtotals. It says $310,585 requested for 910. Mm-hmm.
That looks correct, yes.
So going back to the resolution, for sewer fund appropriations, $310,585. For garbage fund appropriations, $61,374. For major litigation fund appropriations, $10,000. For sheriff's facility fund appropriations, $6,100. And 2, that the final budget be administered as established by past policies and practices.
So moved.
I second that.
Roll call.
Restricted or unrestricted, and how much we've tapped into the reserves.
She needs the reserve information, Gina.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to skip now down to 11.
There's a second resolution that goes along with adopting the budget.
Okay.
Can you read it?
This is
number 14.
This is the Oceano Community Services District Resolution Number 2009-14, a determination of appropriation limitation for the 2009-2010 fiscal year. I believe you have this resolution in front of you.
Yes.
Except it says 2008-2009 fiscal year.
Changed.
So just need to change that. I don't want to bring this resolution in front of you for a movement rule until you...
Yeah.
Do you know what's going on? Do you understand what this is? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is the appropriations limitations based on, not cost of living adjustment, but based on population change. And,
yes.
And per capita income. I'd be happy to read this if someone wanted to move, but I think discussion... opening it up.
Is there any discussion on this one?
No. We have to do this every
Mary,
year.
Mary, you understand this one?
We understand.
Well, I actually would like to hear a brief summary of it.
Okay.
Just brief.
Well, real quick, just if you look at the first recital there, Article 8B of the California Constitution, talks about the appropriations by any kind of government entity, no matter how large, and allows for an increase annual, and this is a limit, an increase based on the change in the population of the community and what is established as the annual change, whether it be increase or decrease in income. This year, it's been determined that there is, let's see, the State Department of Finance has determined that per capita income increase is 1.0062%, and that the population of unincorporated San Luis Obispo County is an increase of 1.44%.
That appropriation limitation is 714,000, right? And then the 09-010 appropriations. Okay. Is it negative 770,000?
That's the amount of the property taxes that are subject to this limitation, and we are under the limit by $6 million.
Okay, so this is a formality.
This is an absolute formality.
Great,
yeah, I'm sorry, and I dealt with this so little that but yeah, it is. By all circumstances, we never reached this number.
Okay, great.
Okay, somebody made a motion for this resolution.
Okay.
I move that we adopt resolution 2009-14.
Right.
I second it.
Okay.
Termination of appropriation limitation of the State of California.
Roll call, please.
Was it seconded?
Yeah, Pamela seconded.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Hill?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Mann?
Yes. Carries 5-0. All right, we're done with the budget now. You have a budget. Congratulations, folks.
Now it goes back on the agenda relatively quickly, right?
For what?
Review.
No.
We have no idea how much money we're bringing in, so in order for us to follow the projected budget, we have to know how much we're bringing in. So I thought we were going to agree on keep bringing this budget back at a minimum of every 90 days. I know it's a novel concept, but you know, it's fiscally, you know, responsible when you watch your pennies. So
you want an update quarterly.
No, I want to dig through the budget. I want to make sure that we're staying within, you know, within our budget.
Well, that's
obviously
that would be an update every quarter to see where you are, line item by line item.
So we are in agreement, right?
You can look
because
at quarterly.
Looking like what is she talking about?
No, but the budget is approved.
Yeah, not it's the budget every time.
It's
the actuals versus what the budget says at the in every quarter is what we're talking about.
Like, following items: conference with legal counsel regarding potential or actual litigation, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 sub B to meet with the agency's legal counsel concerning pending litigation. The litigation involved is otherwise known as Santa Maria groundwater litigation in Santa Clara County, lead case CB770214. And in that closed session, we will also discuss pending litigation known as Book Out v. State of California et al., San Luis Obispo County Superior Court, case CB060384.
If the public could go into the lobby or out into the lobby, we'll have our closed session in here. This should be a fairly short closed session. Session.
Okay. Madam President, members of the board, in the closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B to meet with the agency's legal counsel concerning two different matters of pending litigation, the first being Book Out versus State of California et al., which is San Luis Obispo County Superior Court case CB060384. The board was advised of current status and filings going on in that case. In regards to the Santa Maria groundwater litigation, Santa Clara County case, lead case CB770214, the legal counsel advised the board of some current developments and upcoming presentations regarding that litigation. The board does want to announce to the public that there have been some preliminary sampling results from local sentry wells showing probable saltwater intrusion into the groundwater basin, the Santa Maria groundwater basin. At the next meeting, which is October 28th, we will have Courtney Howard, who is the county water expert, give a full report. The board would encourage the members of the public to attend. So, the questions?
Yeah, they have questions about this. Where can they?
I think right now probably the best way is to directly contact the general manager. I really do believe that, there's going to be a very thorough presentation on the 28th. All questions, I'm sorry, here at the board meeting.
6:30.
Yes, it is the regular board meeting. I believe that the general manager will answer, he has the open door policy and will answer the questions to the best of his ability. And any questions beyond that, hopefully we can answer the 28th in detail.
All right, moving back to 9E.
I'm sorry, Madam, I don't mean to interrupt you, Madam.
I'm sorry.
But I know we're getting started on the agenda again. I do notice that we're approaching 10 o'clock. Did you want to make a resolution to go past 10 o'clock, or are you going to try and wrap this up shortly?
I don't think we can get done in 10 minutes, but 10:30.
That's okay.
Okay? No longer than 10:30. We are going to do all this. If we don't get it done, it just we'll sit there. 2008-2009 grand jury report. We have received a letter from the grand jury, and we need to give a response to them concerning the Oceana Community Center findings and recommendations.
And I'll recuse myself. I live across
from
the community center.
And I also live within 500 feet of the community center, so I will recuse
myself.
Can
they just go sit here if we just direct staff?
Absolutely. No action item. Okay.
There
here.
Is no action. Myself I'm just directing staff to please send the answer to the grand jury.
Pardon me? What?
Directing staff to send an answer to the grand jury. When they send a report out, they you have to respond in some way. So staff can do that for us. That way you guys didn't have to leave. And the, I think a copy of it is in our packet, so you can read what the grand jury had to say.
Is it the one that says Oceana Community Center, an old fable?
Yes.
Revisited?
That's it.
Okay.
Okay, that's it. All right. We're on F, 9F.
Set up to address, that being the fire committee and the water and sewer committee specifically. So those two committees address the fees and charges in their scope of authority, and it seems to me that this committee is incurring costs to meet that the water and sewer committee is going to have to meet anyway, the fire committee is going to have to meet anyway, and that's the proper venue to consider fees and charges for these things. I don't believe that there's been a projection that we might have 14 new houses built in the community next year. That's the former general manager's crystal ball estimate that we have adopted in our budget. I don't think anybody's beating the door down at the moment to build new properties here that make this an emergency. And so I think that the items in question, again, are properly addressed in the Water and Sewer Committee and in the Fire Committee. And I would suggest that those committees act on these proposals.
Is there a requirement for a vote for the president to establish an ad hoc committee?
Can you give me about 5 minutes?
Yeah.
See if I can.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mary. I was wool gathering. Go ahead.
No, Mr. Dahl was speaking.
Well, he asked Ryan something, and Ryan's researching it right now, so.
Oh. I didn't hear what he was saying. I actually attended the ad hoc committee meeting as a volunteer. I didn't collect a stipend to attend it, but I was quite interested in capturing expenses, you know. And so I attended it as a person from the public. And I thought at first, well, maybe this is a good idea. So who would know better about their department than the fire department? And then the same thing went along with the water department. And then the same thing went along with, sewer connection and hookups. And so I have to agree with Director Hill that it did seem... It did seem somewhat as an added extra expense to pay directors to attend this meeting when we already have standing committees. And in fact, the fire department, the fire committee, met right before this committee. What I was hoping to hear is that you would step outside the typical departments, the fire, the water, and the sewer, and look at other cost-saving areas that have not been looked at. And I didn't hear that or see that going on. So, in that sense, it was a duplication, and it was an added board expense. And if you're just going to look at those committees, then it falls under the scope of work of these standing committees.
You're right. Did you have an answer?
And I apologize. Director Ball, can you ask me the question?
Is it a required vote of the board for the president to establish an ad hoc committee?
No.
Okay. So the ad hoc committee has been established. The other thing is, Mary Lucy, you left before the meeting was even half over. We are looking at all the different possible fees and charges.
Oh, great. We'd love to hear about them.
Well, we will give you a report on them, too, as we move forward on it. And Jim, you know, we wanted to, you know, we had the opportunity when we talked about putting this ad hoc committee together to see if you could meet, and you said you couldn't meet. You haven't been meeting on the finance stuff, so
I did not say that, Vern. Mary was out of town at the time, and I could not commit to a time because I didn't know exactly when Mary would be back, but we can certainly meet. And again, it's interesting that we see the rush to do this now when, A, in all of the previous 7 years on the board, nobody's taken an interest in it. Also, we don't have any pending...
Nobody's taken an interest in it since the last time it was looked at, whatever that time period could be. The 25 years ago when the rates were established at the for the collection of money from the sewer department. You know, you've had the finance committee. You haven't taken a look at it. It's time to move forward with these and get it all together so that somebody can work on it and the whole thing at one point in time, get it all worked out and bring it to the board so the board can make a decision on it.
President Mann, maybe you can explain to me that the district just incurred $59,000 in codification. And I can't believe that the codes were looked at and the fees weren't looked at in spending all of that money, which did not come before this board to spend that money. You know, so it just seems like I understand it, and I agree that it does need to go to the existing committees.
Okay.
You know, so, and I had that question too, Vern. You know, I thought, well, Director Dean is on the fire committee and she is one of the appointed chairs for the ad hoc committee. So,
the fire committee.
So, I would wonder, I would ask Director Dean why the fire committee.
The fire committee dealt with the codification issues that we had and is finished. That's the only committee that I believe that finished their codification.
But I'm talking about the fees. And Vern had said nobody had taken an interest. And so as a director who is both on the fire committee and on the proposed ad hoc committee,
let me explain.
And a leader in the codification.
These fees that we're looking at, we're talking about fire flow fees. We're talking about fire hydrants that the district owns on private property, but we own them, we exercise them. We have not been charging for doing that work and exercising those. So this is fire flows. It's outside. It's not owned by the fire department.
It's water.
It's fire. So it's fire hydrants. That's one of them. We are going to be looking at our collection for the sewer fees that are coming through. There are the PEG fees. We're going to be looking at those kinds of things. And so it's things out
there. What you talked about last night?
The packets was one.
You know, just a couple examples, because I did take minutes.
About postage for the packets that are going out. Mm-hmm. And nobody is paying anything for the packets to go out to them. And we're figuring... it's about $10 a piece to send those out.
No, they're $5 each, but that's okay.
But one person, right, some people
so
have.
We discussed that in public, though, already under the budget, how much postage was when we set the budget. So can you tell me a little bit other things that you talked about as far as admin?
Point of order.
Come on.
We have point of order.
I know that it's outside these three committees.
It's her turn to talk.
We did discuss.
I know there was no staff there, so that's why I'm asking you, Pamela, because there was no staff there. I don't know.
All right, let Pamela answer you. Let's
We did discuss further about the collection of the sewer funds and the PEG charges and those kinds of things that probably board members are going to have to pursue. Staff doesn't have time to do some of this. So I think board members are going to have to do this on their own time and help some of this move along.
So you do agree that it should go before the sewer committee, sewer and water?
Not necessarily. I would like to address these things so that they can be enumerated and we can talk to staff and see what they think about the costs. And that is the next step with us, is to go to meet with staff, meet with the people that do this, and get what the actual costs are. So we can capture those immediately as much as possible.
All right. We're spending time on a decision that's already been made at another meeting, so let's just move this forward.
But you're accountable to this board on your decisions made in other meetings. And you're accountable to the elected people.
That's right, but that has nothing to do with this.
So this is an informational meeting. So you share the information that you've been charged with collecting.
Right, and we shall do that.
And I would like to know exactly how many meetings it's going to take you. Ad hoc committees have sunshine dates.
What do you think,
Vern? You know, it's hard to tell because we still got to get the information back from staff.
And staff doesn't have time to give it to you. Okay, we have, let me see, let me just try to put this in a little perspective maybe. We have certain things that are water. We have certain things that are sewer. We have certain things, I don't think that really fall under the fire committee because those are really water issues probably. Mm-hmm. But, and then we have the mm-hmm. other things, the odd things, like the PEG,
we have a list.
Yeah,
okay. We have a list.
This board has no control over PIG.
One thing we could that perhaps would be a solution is for the Water and Sewer Committee to take the water and sewer items and the Ad Hoc Committee to take the other items. And that would reduce the amount of time because you'd be working on the codification anyway and you would get those done. And Pamela, what other things, maybe PEG was a bad suggestion, but what are some of the other things that we don't, that don't fall under water and they don't fall under sewer?
There are development fees that are kind of policy kinds of things that we would be looking at too. And with those, the staff we need to talk to will be Phil Davis or someone from the water yard, the utility staff, not admin staff.
Well, I think that's maybe what I would like to do is anywhere where it's water and sewer, those be handled by the Water and Sewer Committee and the other items be handled by this ad hoc committee.
I'd just like to say is that putting together an ad hoc committee and coming up with a list of things for the staff to go fetch you is not a good plan when you have an overburdened staff. If you're going to do an ad hoc committee and you're going to get the information, then you get the information. You don't pass it on a list to staff. I just think that is a poor idea to do it that way. So if that's the case, I'd also like us to keep track of how many hours our staff are spent briefing the board members, because every hour that they're briefing a board member is more money out of people's pockets. So if we have a supervisor who's briefing a board member for 3 hours at $25 an hour, that's another $100 right there. And so it kind of defeats the purpose.
$25 an hour.
We have a contract, you know, so.
Okay, well.
The Water and Sewer Committee would be only too happy to come up with as many suggestions as we possibly can to pass on.
And I'm sure that some of those you may have to ask staff some questions on those problems.
Oh, most definitely.
So it's okay for Water and staff to go ask questions, but not for And it's not going to cost water and sewer money to get briefed by staff, but it is the ad hoc.
No.
You know,
no.
Mr. Dahl,
I just divided it up to try to spread the workload a little bit so that it can get done so that it doesn't take 6 months.
So, Madam President, how many meetings are you looking at holding the ad hoc? Because it is an additional expense for the board.
And it is the same an additional expense for the Water and Sewer Committee.
Oh, I'll volunteer my time.
No. It seems to me that there's other things that the Water and Sewer Committee meets on from time to time. The Fire Committee regularly meets. And so issues like fire inspections and fire safety plans and those kinds of things are properly addressed by the Fire Committee.
All right, those few items for the fire will be addressed by the Fire Committee. Although in an effort to stealing Pamela's fire from the fire reports, we decided last night, the Fire Committee, in an effort to help save money, that we're only going to have one Fire Committee meeting a month. As long as there's nothing urgent going on. Again, that's saving $100 a month. You know, pennies take care, turn into dollars.
Yeah.
I think that's very responsible. I applaud that action.
But so when you, next time, you know, when Jim, when are you and Mary going to meet? Let's set a date.
You can meet Monday, I'm fine. Well, what's the
Monday
evening? Monday evening would be great.
Monday, okay, Pam.
And that's going to be on the, that meeting's going to be on the...
Water and Sewer.
Water and Sewer.
Pamela, when are you and Vern going to meet on the other items?
Well, we were planning on meeting after, it was after the, when the next Fire Committee meeting was, but that was because you went to once a month. We were going to meet once in between that time to talk about other issues.
Just pick a date.
So, we were trying to let staff work on that so that we didn't set their schedule and they kind of did it where they had their kids on and setting that together. And
I think everybody needs to know that you might not always have staff available.
Not necessarily.
In Water and Sewer, same way.
Yeah.
You might not always have staff.
Yeah.
And, I'll be happy to donate my time for this, but tell me, is it that the board members get $50 for the subcommittees and ad hocs? Is that
it's $50 for a committee meeting. You cannot earn more than $600 in 1 month. That's state law.
$650 or $600?
$600. That's state law. You can't earn more than $100 in a day. So if you had a committee meeting on the day that you had a board meeting, you would only get paid $100, even though you would have done $150 worth.
But if you had a subcommittee meeting and an ad hoc committee meeting back to back,
you could do that. That's $100 because it's not more than $100 in 1 day. I believe that's the law. Is that not, Gina?
Right. Mm-hmm. I was listening.
Well, I just. Yes, David.
Wouldn't it be appropriate just? Because my curiosity is running really wild. Could somebody elaborate a little bit on this water meter? I mean, on this fire hydrant that's on somebody else's property and what?
Yeah. I'd have to refer to them because I don't have a clue.
For instance, in the mobile home parks, Seabreeze is a good example.
Uh-huh.
Private property.
Uh-huh.
But we own fire hydrants. And the water department goes in and exercises and maintains them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the only place.
And what's the purpose of that?
The county did that one to us before OCSD was formed. But it's our water main that supplies it.
Yeah, well, what if they sent you a bill for rent for having your water meter on their property?
That's the point. They get the service for free.
Don't
we exercise it for free and we maintain it for free.
But you're talking about changing that.
To bill them.
Well, you can't do it on public property.
It's
yeah, don't bill me for that fire hydrant in front of my house.
No, we're talking about inside the park or inside, yeah, inside Pismo Coast Village.
In the county airport?
Correct.
Does the county pay?
No.
Public
health. Well, are they going to be included in this screw job here?
Thanks,
Dave. Maybe I'm not understanding what you're saying. You don't think that we should bill for the exercising our hydrant that's on their private property?
I think they pay through their property taxes, which goes to the fire department.
But the fire department is not the one that maintains fire hydrants or exercises the water valves.
Okay, so what are we going to do? We're going to charge the water department? We're going to charge the fire department?
No, remember we used to do that and the fire department couldn't afford it?
Yeah.
So the water department does it with no revenue? We used to charge $10 a year per hydrant. And it was too much for the fire department.
So now we have four on private property, so we're going to get $40 a year?
I have no idea. No. I'm just giving examples of where these hydrants are.
Well, it's not the ad hoc's position to or place to determine what's going to be charged or anything. We're just going to research it, come back with what's out there and what's happening, and the board makes that decision.
Okay, well,
it seems like you're wasting a lot of time and effort for fruitless. I mean, it's just not.
I don't think that was the only fee that they're looking at, David. That one might be a dumb one, maybe.
Dave, you might want to give Phil a call. He's written a staff report on the different things that relate to hydrants and fire lines, sprinkler lines that are installed for free. He has some justifications in there that you and I would never think of. Might be interesting to see it.
Well,
they're all costs. Somebody's going to pay for it, one way or the other.
When you guys decide who's going to look at it, I got some recommendations.
Okay, water and sewer, Jim and Mary. Other items are Pam and...
Well, when would be the appropriate time?
You got a list written down?
It's just, just... three items.
Okay, quickly, what are they, David?
Come to the mic.
One of them is just simply information. Even if you don't pay for state water, such as Clover Beach, they're still getting advantage of better quality water.
Right.
You're right.
And everybody needs to know that. Because when that general manager of a couple times, couple of them back, started in about, you know, we were being unfair with the dispatch and all that stuff, you know, well, we don't get any consideration whatsoever for you know, giving them Roy Grandy as well as Grover City better quality water. You know, we didn't get a thank you. Maybe they don't realize it.
They realize.
No, they do.
And then the other thing I wanted to say is the groundwater that we, you know, the reason why we take, the groundwater is the cheapest water, but we have to pay for the state water and the Lopez water, whether we take it or not.
Yeah.
So that's why we take it. And elect not to pump our groundwater, because that's you know, electricity spent that doesn't have to be spent, because we can get enough through the line that we have to take. Okay, and I know that when we talked about this 10 years ago or whenever this decision was made, you know, Phil said we had to exercise the well somewhat. So that's why we do take some groundwater. But here a while back, when they were talking about pump the ground dry and see where the salt water is, and you know, everybody wants more entitlement to the groundwater, that's crap. And then Something else that I brought up before, and it's just kind of fell on deaf ears, and maybe the new general manager will have a little better expertise. And let me mention it to him, and so, you know, at least he'll have it in his hat of tricks to possibly use. And that is, the County of San Luis Obispo gets a cable franchise fee for Charter Cable Company, and it's cable franchise fees like we did the garbage disposal, you know, disposal fees. And you know, if the county don't want to play ball, we'll see what Sonic or Cox or Cable or whoever else is out there. Maybe they might want to get a piece of the action.
Comcast.
Yeah, Comcast, whatever. Yeah, you know, I mean, we're not being treated fairly on the cable franchise. I remember when the cable company wouldn't come to unincorporated areas because the county was so difficult to work with. I had to go to Grover City to my dad's TV shop to watch Roller.
There is a line item in the budget, at least for a minimum of $5,000 this year for the PEG fees, David.
Okay, good.
This is a reminder.
My understanding is the county is collecting that into a pot for us.
For us?
For us.
We hope.
And that is part of the
franchise fee?
A portion of it for the government, that comes from the government channel.
Have we ever got any of it?
Not yet.
I didn't think so.
Just out of curiosity, was it girls' roller derby or boys'?
Oh, both. The T-Birds?
Yeah.
They had a boys' and
girls'. Okay.
Moving right along.
I do want to speak to this because it is on our list of other items on the ad hoc committee. It's called the PEG fees, is what we call them. And I think it's going to be, we're going to have to go personally and
lobby for them,
yes. Outside of the committee and outside of everything, because staff doesn't have time to do it, but I think it's worthwhile to try for it. Okay. So we are listening. We did listen about your PEG fees.
When I did see that, you know, like, I think when we started the garbage company, it was 40 grand now, 70 something. That's pretty substantial. I mean,
it's worth a shot.
Yeah, right. Okay.
All right, thank you. Let's move to the warrants at this point.
Director Mann, I'm going to have to abstain from the warrants, not an objection. I just don't have them to review.
Mary, didn't you get a packet delivered to your house this afternoon?
I don't know. I didn't get home. I came straight from the office and changed my clothes.
That one, Jim?
And we did itemize it on the warrant itself so that we can see the department distribution.
Oh, great.
Cool.
Yeah. It is cool. Now, that's good accounting. I like that.
Okay. So we were...
And this is the average for legal each month for the bank?
Can I look at what you're looking at?
It's just what you brought us here.
So in September, we had 19 and a half hours excess time?
No.
So to find out what that 19 and a half hours are, I have to go through this statement to see who cost us all this money.
That's how I have lost.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. I was just saying that we 19 and a half hours in excess.
Yeah, I actually think it was about 24. We wrote some hours off.
Yeah, I see that.
Because, this was, I think, by far the, I mean, we haven't used that many hours in quite some time. And there were a number of reasons why.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any bills on here you have questions about, Pamela or Vern?
No. Oh, on the warrants?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the Stevens bill.
No, talking about the warrants.
Yeah, you're gonna have to pull mine. You got to pull one of the committees off of there.
Can we not adjust? Can we adjust that on next month so we don't have to void a check?
Sure.
Is that agreeable with the rest of you? Because one less thing they have to do in the office.
Can you please just summarize that for me since I don't have the warrants in front of me?
Okay. Vern said he got paid $50 too much.
And I note that our other legal fees for Nossaman, Gunther, and Knox, which is our Santa Maria groundwater, it's the lowest I've seen in a while.
There's been very
I hope
little
it keeps with, going down.
There's been very little activity with the attorney. There will be a little bit of increased activity coming up,
okay. I see a final payroll for the period ending 10/07/09, page 1, mm-hmm. and there's a rather large check on that. That one's still standing good. $5,199.50.
That was a payout of grandfathered vacation time.
Okay, so that's still, that was an expense, and that came out of like reserves, right? Grandfathered.
It's just part of payroll. Came out of salaries and wages.
In addition, you don't have that money put away?
No.
What do you mean?
It's called out in the audit report. It shows what the buyout would be for vacation or sick leave as of June 30th of that year. So yes, it will reduce that liability.
Yeah, it's an accrued.
But what Barbara said, asked, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the vacation and benefits not PERS, right? Mm-hmm. Like vacation time is over in an account, but it's not. It's just built into payroll, right?
This is grandfathered.
It has an accrual. It has a liability account that sits there with that balance in it.
For all employees, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. So say somebody has 6 months vacation time coming.
Right.
We have 6 months in an account someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Now, I was just making sure that's where that $7,000 came from.
Well, we have 6 months worth of time in an account.
Yeah.
6 months worth of money in an account is a totally different subject.
But but they take that as a liability every year, Jim.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I'm talking about real money, not monopoly money.
Then it'll show up in the restricted reserves.
I don't know. Do you call it? Do you have an? Is there a restricted reserve account for that grandfathered vacation?
We don't list it as a restricted reserve because there's an encumbrance.
This government operates that way, but most governments don't.
That's how governments, that's how they are there.
Okay, well.
The county system is a modified cash.
Your governmental experience. So.
Well, that might have changed in the last couple of years, Mary.
Yeah, it is.
It's just
more
being clear once again, you know.
Yeah, well, that's why I was asking.
Banked, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, that there's actually a bankroll in there. You're drawing
that's
down.
That's earmarked for that. No,
time,
there is
you
not.
Know, and that's where the
that's I what I'm saying.
Need
time.
The clarification.
Mary, time.
Okay.
It's 10:31. How much longer?
Adjourn the meeting.
I'm sorry. What was that comment?
I said you can adjourn the meeting. You're done with the warrants.
Do you think we could do it in another 10 minutes?
Yeah.
I think so.
I'll say 15 to
okay.
be sure. We
okay.
are going home in 15 minutes.
All right.
All those in favor?
Done.
Okay. Now, any other questions about the warrants?
I like that the Wallace Group is split out too by work work areas. The Wallace Group, check. So, yeah.
Okay. Looking for a motion to pay the warrants. And also noting in that motion, perhaps, that we will have a $50 credit due us from Mr. Dahl's next check, or I don't know how you want to word that.
We paid you for a committee meeting that you did not attend, or
correct.
Okay.
So we want.
So I move that we approve the warrants with the adjustment to Vern's check. On the following payroll period.
Second. Do I need a roll call when two people are?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
Yeah. Okay. Three. Yes to abstentions. That takes care of that. See what else we can get done in 5 or 10 minutes. There's no old, or no change to the old business. Let's do the committees real quick.
Madam President.
Yeah.
Can I suggest that you open up to public comment before?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Public comment on the
thing. The other meeting I attended was the Fire Oversight Committee. And there was a great deal of discussion about the JPA because they're working on it. It went back to committee for some adjustments and more discussion. Mostly, we're going to have a joint dispatch study happening at our next regularly scheduled meeting. And at that time, they will have a recommendation for us.
Joint
dispatch study. So the big items were the JPA, and there was a lot of discussion about that, the joint dispatch study, and then I'll close just quick as I can here.
All right. General manager, items for discussion, it said house and mobile homes. Do we have anything on that?
No report.
The only thing that we can say is that the letter notifying Aurora Grandy of our request to begin providing water to the mobile home parks was dated September 21st. Aurora Grandy is very anxious to start that, So we're set to go.
Okay, good. Okay, board member items for discussion. Anything, Pamela?
No.
Jim?
No.
Vern?
No.
Mary?
No.
I have nothing. Public comment. Last public comment for the evening. Oh, I did want to say something. I wanted to thank Lynn for everything she did tonight and her friend, Joy, for the little welcoming party for Raphael. We certainly appreciated it.
Yes, thank you very much. That was really, really nice.
And now, public comment. Okay, David has public comment.
I'd just like to welcome the new general manager aboard. From what I can see, I think he's capable of doing you guys a really good job. I hope you give him an opportunity to do so. So I think not every general manager's got a fair shake. And just, you know, I think he's committed to this district, and I'd like to see you guys give him a fair shot, and I think he'll do you right.
Thank you very much. Do you have anything, Lynn?